Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, I love our country, and on many days, I am very proud to be an American, and I am so excited to have a chance to celebrate our nation when we have national holidays. And we have to be honest about our nation's history, too, as we celebrate it, that it isn't all good, but it's not all bad. There's a lot to love about our nation. But the fact of the matter is, being a Christian in America is also complicated as well, because our Christian faith challenges us to see things differently than perhaps other people see them. Now, when it comes to our country, our Christian faith offers two important things. It offers both affirmation and critique. There's a lot about our country that is affirmed by our Christian faith. There are ways in which, so many ways in which, our Christian ideals are lived out through our country. But it's also true that there are some ways in which our Christian ideals and our Christian faith are not lived out, and there's critique involved with our faith as well. And we have to believe and understand that God wants us to see both sides of this. Now, the fact of the matter is, when we think about the way this works, we want to understand how God wants us to see this. And in particular, there is a way that Jesus teaches us about this that can help us understand how do we keep our Christian identity at the foreground of who we are in the midst of wanting to know how our national identity or our American citizenship for many people, how that fits into the mix. Now, the truth is, whether it's Christian faith or many faiths, all faiths tend to have a different relationship with our governments. We need to understand that this is not something that is just true about our nation, but that Christianity, or the Christian faith, actually affirms and critiques all of nations and all governments, and calls them and calls all of us as groups of people to be better and more loving. Now, when Jesus finds his way into one of these moments where he gets into this, he does so in a very interesting way. Now, Jesus was on his fateful trip to Jerusalem, and he was in what would become some of his last days. And Jesus was in and out of the temple, he was around all of this, and he got confronted by some people that were trying to set a trap for him. And in particular, the people that were setting a trap for him this time were the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now, you might be saying, who are these people? Well, the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees as well, many of them made up the political and religious leadership of Israel in that day. Because Israel in that day was a theocracy. It wasn't really a distinction between religious and political leadership. They were one and the same. And there were specifically a couple groups of people that were trying to trap Jesus and see if they could get him to catch himself. And in particular, this time, it was the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now, the Herodians, that's a funny term as well. These were the people that had been set up by the emperor of Rome to lead Israel, because Israel had been conquered by Rome. And what Rome would do in many places is they would set up these puppet dictators or these puppet kings that would influence the people in order to help them be good Roman citizens. And the way that they did this was through the King Herod and King Antipas in this time for Jesus. And of course, if the kings are named Herod, then their followers are the Herodians. And their interest was to keep themselves in power. And they thought Jesus was going to potentially cause political problems for them. So they worked with the Sadducees to see if they could trip up Jesus, because the Sadducees were worried about their political power, but also the religious implications of Jesus. And so what they did was they set a trap for Jesus to see if he would go against the faith that would then allow them to show the people that Jesus was no good, or that he would go against the Romans and allow them to show the Romans that he was no good. But like a lot of times, setting a trap for Jesus is not a good idea. But here's what they tried to do anyways. They went to Jesus and they said to him this: "Teacher, we know you are a sincere man and show no partiality to anyone. You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Flattery may not get you anywhere with many people, but false flattery never gets you much of a place with Jesus especially." But they went on. So they asked him this: "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" Now, this is the trap that they were trying to set. They were trying to get him to commit one way or the other so that they could try to get him to be no longer popular with the people or give him trouble with the Romans. And Jesus knew this was a trap. And so he said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Classic Jesus, right? Just going straight to the point. So Jesus thinks about it, and then he responds to them with the next thing. He says, "Bring me a denarius and let me see it." Now, this was an interesting request from Jesus because a denarius was a coin back in the day. And the coins back in the day told something just like our money does today. When you see what's on a coin, you know it's important to people. And in particular, the denarius was going to show that. But we're going to get to what it showed in just a minute. And they had one, and they produced it for him, apparently. And he said to them then, "Whose head is on this? And whose title?" Now, this wasn't quite a rhetorical question for Jesus because, you know, there could have been multiple coins. But they, in particular, had one and it knew what was on there. And in particular, this denarius was important because it was the official Roman coin of the day. Now, you hear denarius and we hear Roman coins, and we're not sure what this all looks like. But we've actually found many of these coins in archaeological explorations. And here's what they look like. They would have had the Roman emperor on one side, and his mark on the other, his name. And in particular, this is one from about the time when Jesus was alive in the place where Jesus lived, and this would have been Emperor Tiberius, and this would have been the other side of the denarius. And Jesus would have had this coin, and he would have pointed out to them what's on here. So they had this coin in this moment, and then Jesus says to them, "Whose name and mark is on the coin?" And so Jesus gave them the most stunning and most beautiful reply to all of this. And here's what he said to them. He said, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And according to the text, the men that were there were stunned by his answer, because Jesus had not only had not fallen into their trap, but he had figured out a way to show them what was really important. And that was that we give to God what belongs to God, and we give to the world what belongs to the world. What Jesus was showing the men then and all of us was that that coin, while it signified some kind of presence and some kind of loyalty or some kind of reality of the Roman Empire, it didn't have to define who they were by giving it back to the emperor. For them, it was just a coin. Jesus was trying to help them see that. And by not assigning too much value to it, they understood what it was. But Jesus was also trying to do something much more than that as well. Jesus was trying to show them also what it means to keep their identity rooted in God and not in this world, by showing them that simply this coin was no more than just a piece of property that could be given back to anybody. It was taking the power away from it and showing that what really mattered is that we keep our identity rooted in who God wants us to be, and keeping our identity rooted in our loving of God and loving of others. And the fact of the matter is, that's what God still wants for us today. So when we find ourselves in this time of celebrating national holidays, we want to make sure that we aren't making the same mistakes that were being made back then, and some of the same mistakes that are being made today, where we put our personal identity, which should be rooted in Jesus, where we put our national identity ahead of that. We can put our citizenship in this world ahead of our citizenship in what God wants for us. And this is a trap that Jesus doesn't want us to fall into ever in our lives. Jesus wants us to make sure that our identity is rooted in our Christian faith first and foremost, and that our Christian faith is then put into primary focus, and that our national identity is subservient to that. Now, this is one of those things where we want to be sure that we understand that this is how God wants all of our days to be, but especially at a time like this. Now, when we think about how do we live out our lives in such a way that our Christian identity is primary and that our national identity comes in proper place, there's a couple things that we can think about doing that will help us. One of them is related to this idea I mentioned earlier about affirmation and critique. And the other one is making sure that we understand the difference between being contradicted and persecuted. When we think about ways that we live out our Christian identity over our national identity, one of the things that we can do is really wrestle with the fact that our faith offers both affirmation and critique of America. Being able to understand that our Christian faith affirms so much of what is going on is really important, but it also means that we have to be able to critique what's going on as well. It's similarly related to the fact that we can love our country and critique it at the same time. This is true in a lot of areas of life. In particular, if you're married, right? Think about your spouse. You hopefully do love your spouse, but I'm guessing if you're normal, you offer a critique of your spouse on occasion. Don't do it too often, fellas. But the fact of the matter is, just because we critique something doesn't mean we don't love it. And understanding that we want what's best for our country is a part of what's loving it. The fact of the matter is, when we offer both affirmation and critique that comes out of our Christian faith, we are helping us as a group of people become more and more of the nation and the people that God wants us to be. By offering the critique of what needs to be improved, we're helping the world and our nation become a more just and equitable place for all people. This is one of the ways that we can absolutely find our way forward in keeping our Christian identity as the primary part of our lives. Another thing that we can do is to make sure that we understand as Christians there's a big difference between contradiction and persecution. In our day and age, we need to understand that contradiction is not persecution. The great Ralph Waldo Emerson put it this way: "Let me never fall into the vulgar mistake of dreaming that I am persecuted whenever I am contradicted." There are many ways that we find ourselves struggling with contradictions in our families and in our relationships, especially when it comes to faith and religion. And the fact of the matter is, we need to be able to hold into tension the fact that when we are being contradicted, we are not being persecuted in many ways. Now, there is real persecution that is going on in our world today for religious reasons, and there's real persecution that's going on in our world today for political reasons. But for many of us, it would be helpful if we pulled out the distinction and held tight to the fact that when we are being contradicted, we are not being persecuted. In particular, we need to think about this when it comes to the relationships with our friends and our families, when we get into conversations over things we might not always agree about. I bet there's a situation in your family or in your friends or maybe in work where you have been contradicted or disagreed with someone and you find yourself wondering, why is this happening to me? You might even feel a little bit of a persecution. If you've got a little bit of that martyr complex coming up, that's what you need to look at and examine and make sure that you hold into perspective that we are not being persecuted, but just contradicted. When we can hold this tension in place and see this come together, this will help us to be more loving to the people in our lives and will indeed allow our Christian identity to play a larger role, the primary role in our relationships. When we can put these things together, then we have a chance of being more loving in all the ways that we're living out our lives. Now, I want to wrap up with a little bit of where I started as we finish our time together. I want to be clear, I love our country. Most days, I am very proud to be an American. I don't want to live anywhere else for an extended period of time. But in the midst of this, as a Christian, we also need to hear from Jesus what God wants for us. That God wants us to give to God what belongs to God and give to this world what belongs to this world. God wants our identity to be rooted in our Christian faith. God wants our identity to be rooted in our relationship with God. God wants us to pursue loving others in all that we do. So maybe if we can find ways to see how our faith both affirms and critiques, we can make our way forward better. If we can together perhaps be more accurate in the way we understand criticism is not persecution, we can also live out our faith in the ways that God wants us to. Because this is what God wants for us. But God wants us to love God and love others and to love our country in a way that truly allows all people to pursue life, liberty, and happiness.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.